another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast.
This is episode 86.
Woo-hoo!
Don't worry, we're not canceled.
I see what you did
right?
there.
Yeah. 86th.
Yeah.
Get it?
Right.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, we are not canceled. In fact, we are still here.
Going strong.
We have a fun show this week.
Yeah.
We have two special guests on our show, even though it's an even-numbered show, because these are guests.
These are special guests.
We specially bred these guests to be on our show.
Yes, specially selected from a pool of three possible.
Right. We have two of our kids are going to be on the show in the second half of the show, so it's going to be a lot of fun. We are going to be talking about, well, they're going to be talking about games that they played. So you went with Asher to Total Con.
Yeah.
And Claire was keeping like a games roster of everything that she was playing for a while.
Yeah, although it looks like she may have thrown that out before this episode. Oops.
Oh, well. But so that'll be kind of neat. We'll talk to them about some of the stuff that they played. And I know that Asher played a bunch of stuff that I either hadn't played or hadn't even heard of before. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But of course, before we do that, we should talk about
what we've been playing. Yeah. So let's do that. I'll rip through a couple quickly. We pulled out a few games to teach visiting family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
About 2 weeks ago now. Sushi Go Party, which was a lot of fun, and Lanterns. Oh, I was so happy to pull out Lanterns and play with it right up until a child spilled water on the cards, but
no
serious harm done. Just a lesson in what fooling around during the game will get you.
Yes, totally. Especially with kids at the table.
Yeah. I have played several plays of Rolling America, and I've started showing it to the rest of the family.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting take on a roll and write. It feels very different from most of the other roll and writes I've played.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about the blocky America thing. I mean, is there anything America themed about it, or is it merely just a method by which to discern some shapes?
It's a method by which to discern some shapes, but if you pay attention, there are exactly 50 of them in that weird pixel type form. They do follow the actual shapes of the states.
Huh. Okay.
I hear that Rolling America is a later variation on a game that started off as Rolling Japan.
Okay.
So that is probably why it seems a little odd.
That was the only thing about it that I thought was kind of silly. Other than that, it looked like I understood the abstract strategy of the game or whatever. It was fine.
Yeah. I also, on my own, played some solo roll and write, some Welcome to Dino World. Mm-hmm. I still enjoy this game. We're trying out a few games that are still brand new, and I'm not going to talk about too much. I sat down with Claire to play a game when a friend came over, and she wasn't going to be able to play the game with the adults. So she and I played What's Up.
That game is awesome.
It is still just as much fun as I remember from the last time.
Yep. So we talked about that on episode 85.
We did.
When we talked about filler games.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful little game from Strawberry Studio.
Yeah. And then at Total Con, we played a bunch of games. Some of them Asher will talk about, so I'll try not to steal his thunder. We did play a prototype of a game that is on Kickstarter right now called Pocket Sub. Sub as in submarine.
Mm-hmm.
It's two
as in submarine sandwich? I mean, you can't fit one of those in your pocket.
It's a 2-4 player game. It's played on this odd kind of hexagonal grid. But the idea is to move your submarines around, and you must lay a mine somewhere behind you every time that you move. And you start eliminating each other's submarines, either through forcing them so that they have to go through mines, which destroys their subs.
Sure.
Or by just ramming them, in which case both subs die. But if you have more subs left than the other player,
right,
could be worth it.
War of Attrition wins.
Yeah. So that's on Kickstarter right now from Geek Fever Games. We did get to try another Geek Fever game that is currently available, which is called Awesome Bots.
Okay.
This game was nothing like what I thought it would be. It looks like you're building robots to, like, fight each other.
Sure.
You're just building robots.
To get high fives.
And the best robot wins at the end.
High five.
But it's a really neat...
five. I'll stop.
It's a really neat mechanic that you are starting from a deck of cards and a small hand. And each turn, you can play a card. Yeah, you have three cards each turn. So you play one card on your warehouse or on your robot. You put a card into your future deck. And you put a card into the opposing player's future deck.
Cool.
And so you go several rounds of doing this.
Sure.
Until there's a couple of different end conditions. And then once the end conditions are met, you all compare robots and warehouses and, you know, and the point values of everything that you have. And whoever has the highest points wins. It's kind of neat because the different pieces, like you buy pieces by, you know, by spending other pieces sort of thing.
Sure. So you put a bunch of stuff in your warehouse and then you can use those to like buy a piece or something. Like
yeah. That? Or you can take a piece off your robot to, you know, to pay it in for, towards a better piece.
Okay.
So it's, it was much more thinky and much less fighty than I thought it would be.
Okay.
But I enjoyed it. I got a chance to play Mission to Planet Hex. I first played this at Granite Game Summit and it was fun then. And this time I got to play a full game of it, which I had not the last time. And it was even more fun this time. It is a retro style sci-fi. It's a wacky kind of a game, but you can play it wacky or you can play it serious. You are laying down hexes from your hand to make the space that you're moving through, space and planets. You're collecting data from the planets, which is little cubes. It's basically your money. And then you spend data to put cards down around your mission card hex.
Okay.
So I think there are either... I think there are five types of cards in general. There's like space and planet and alien and object and something else. But so the other three types, alien, object, and whatever the other thing was, are more like event cards that you can play at will.
Sure.
Change the course of the game. But while you're doing all of this, you're also trying to hold back cards to put in your mission file is what it's called. And the first person to fill their mission file wins the game.
Okay, so you have to play cards to move yourself forward, but you yes. want to save cards to put in your file.
Yes.
Got it.
So it was fun. And it's not only fun because I won, but I did win. that's one that Asher played with me and the designer. And we all had a good time. Good. It didn't really matter who won.
That's good.
It was good. Yeah.
The games that are fun to play, regardless of the winner, are good games.
Yeah. Asher had a blast schooling a group of adults in Downforce. And everything along the way pointed to him losing and losing big, and then he pulled it out at the end. So
good for him.
He did a great job.
He's going to be a gamer, like big time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We played Ice Cool. I was really happy to get a chance to play it.
Finally.
Mm-hmm. It is exactly what it looks like. You're flicking penguins around in this weird board that the board looks like five rooms, you know, around a square. And you're just flicking the penguins through it, trying to get through certain doors. Every round, one of the penguins is trying to catch the other penguins. It's a really simple concept dexterity game. It's really fun. I would love to play it again. I personally don't feel any need to own it because it doesn't have a lot of depth to it.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like it has a lot of
depth. I know a lot of people really liked it last year.
Yeah.
It was a pretty hot game for a while for a cool game.
Yeah.
Get it.
See, what else? I played another Roll and Write called Balloon Pop. Not much to say about it. It was fine.
Okay. But given all the other Roll and Writes that you played, because you're the Roll and Write right,
I'm becoming the Roll and Write queen.
Yes.
Especially if I can do
even
them solo.
Even if I can't pronounce the words Roll and Write.
I was super excited that this week in the mail, we got our Button Shy shipment.
We did.
With
Kintsugi and In Vino Morte.
Yeah. So I have been raving about In Vino Morte for a year. You have now played it. What do you think?
It's fine.
It's, you know, there is no depth there at all, but it's fun.
Yeah, I guess.
It's a party game.
I guess it's, yeah. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I mean, how many times can you make the Sicilian joke from The Princess Bride, right? So.
Lots.
Yeah.
Lots of times.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really big on those, the passing judge games, like apples to apples and all that stuff anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a certain amount of that. I mean, because it's not, like, it's a social deduction game, but it's a social deduction game with
it's stripped down to the most basic level.
Yeah, there's just nothing there to put a Tooks in Me at all.
Okay.
Just nothing.
But would you play again if I asked you to?
Sure, it's fine.
Okay.
It's my balloon pop, I guess. I don't know. It was okay. I don't regret having bought it. I mean, I wouldn't buy it for myself, but I mean, if you like it, I like when you're happy.
Yay!
It's fine. The other game, though, I liked a lot more.
Kintsugi.
Yes.
Yeah, I was super excited when I saw that on the Kickstarter. Kintsugi is based on the Japanese art of, like, reconstructing or mending pottery with a gold lacquer.
Yep.
And it was really neat to play because it's got a lot more strategy than it first appears.
Yeah, so the way this game works is there are it's up to four players. Is it 2 to 4 or is it 3 and 4?
It says 2 to 3 on the...
Oh, really? You can't play with four players?
I think you could play with four players.
Okay. Well, anyway, so there are four colors, which are the four colors of pottery, and every single one of the cards has all four colors on it.
Yeah.
And they've been glazed together with gold in some orientation, and you know, it's not an equal amount of every color on each card or anything like that.
Every color is touching at least one edge of the card.
Yes. So each player secretly gets a color assigned to them. There's four cards that are, this is the assignment, you know. So you look at your color and you know what color you are. And then as the game goes, you are drawing from a common deck and you are placing cards onto the Kintsugi pile.
Yeah.
Right? The pottery that exists, only covering up one section of the last card that was played.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you're trying to do is to create the least number of sections of your color. So you want your area to be as contiguous as possible.
Yes.
On top of that, the player, at the end of the game, you will be guessing the color of the player on your left.
Yes.
So it behooves you, if possible, to be a little bit mousy about what color it is you're attempting to preserve, because you don't want the player on the right to guess your color.
Yeah, to a certain extent.
Or they get two extra bonus points, or
you subtract two points as a bonus.
Yeah, because the lowest score wins. So it's not the end of the world if they guess, right? You could just play it straight and be like, I'm going to dominate. Yeah. Getting my stuff together.
I'm going to make myself a single section.
But it's an interesting way, like, you know, with a game like Ancestry, what we talk about, there's lots of different strategies, right?
Yeah.
So you can use a strategy of attempting to conceal who you are or not. And that choice is a fun extra choice
is.
To have.
It is.
It's not so much that it would dramatically change the game, but it's a little bit of something.
Yeah. Well, and I like that for such a small, compact game, it keeps you invested because every player's actions affect your color and what's happening with your color of pottery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very easy for somebody else to put down something and you're like, oh no, now there's a whole other section over there. That gives me an extra point unless I can either connect it or cover it up or whatever.
Yep, totally.
Yeah.
Yep. So I like that game. I like that game better out of the two.
Yeah. If you follow us on social media, you could see that we received Deep Sea Adventure, the game that we talked about last week, and received as a payment, I guess, from our friends at One Board Family.
Yeah, so, of course, we had the show last week about filler games, and we had not yet picked a filler game that we wanted to receive as our prize for winning the bet for the Patriots beating the Jacksonville Jaguars in the AFC Championship game. And so after Ryan and Aaron and Rick all raved about Deep Sea Adventure, we said,
okay, that's
that game sounds like the right game for us. So they were awesome, and they Amazoned it right over to us. Which is sort of like teleportation, only slightly different.
slightly slower.
Only slightly. And so now you played it with the kids. They weren't super in love with it, but you played it with me and a friend who came over. And that's a fun game.
Yeah, it's so much harder than it looks.
And the thing is, that's what they said. That's what they said.
I came into it knowing that it would be hard, and it was still harder than I expected.
It's just like, there is an actuary somewhere that like destroys that game, right? He's like, nope, this is exactly what you need to do. Bloop, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. And every other human being on the planet is like, I can dive down there.
Of course I can.
Dead.
And we all die.
Yep.
And so we all die again.
There is a picture of that on our Instagram.
There he is.
Of me horribly losing.
Where by horribly losing, you mean you had the most treasure, but we all died.
Well, I did actually win the game.
You won the game at the end. Yeah. Your strategy eventually paid off in the third round.
Shh. The strategy of that game is just don't, like, it's to stay near the other divers. Like, it doesn't matter what they're doing. Just stay, don't separate yourself, or otherwise you're toast.
If you can, sometimes you roll the dice and it makes you pull away.
Yeah, but being around the other divers is a huge help.
Yeah. So that's it for me, but I know that you, while I was playing a bunch of solo roll and rides, you were playing Rising Sun.
Yeah, so we have a friend who kickstarted Rising Sun from Simon on Kickstarter however long ago. $4 million or some crazy amount. And he usually comes over and plays our games and is a great sport about the fact that we have kids and he doesn't, so he's always coming to our house. But this time he brought Rising Sun.
And that game is huge.
He didn't even bring all of it.
I know.
So, if you haven't heard of this game, Rising Sun is a game set in feudal Japan. That is F-E-U-D-A-L, not F-U-T-I-L-E. There are no Borg here. Where you play as one of these various clans. And this game is mostly fictional. in Japan. And basically what you're doing is it is an area control game. Over the course of the game, there's lots of things that you can do with your guys. So you've got your main guy whose name, he's got a name, I don't know, Daimyu is your like captain, I guess. And then you have Bushi, which are regular warriors, and then you have Shinto, which are priests. And every turn, you have a set of four roles. You pick a role, and you perform the action on that role. And that role might be, buying these bonus cards. It might be placing some things down. It might be harvesting. It might be betraying. Over the course of the game, there's three sort of rounds to the game. And at the end of each round, there's a war where there's a bunch of adjudication that occurs based on what has happened before that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're sort of trying to have to control these various areas of the board. And during a harvest, if you control an area, you get a bunch of bonus stuff. And during a war, if you control an area, you get to kill your opponent's guys. And there's a really cool war dynamic where there's four different things that you can do during war, and you are you have to reveal how many resources you have, but then you secretly allocate your money onto the war cards, and then you reveal at the same time.
Okay.
And so so there are these Ronin cards, which are basically warriors for hire. And if you have Ronins, you can bid on the "I will be buying Ronin" attribute, which allows you to supplement your forces in the area. Or you can bid on the seppuku thing where you kill yourself for honor.
Okay.
Or you can kidnap one of your opponent's guys. You can bid on that as one of these four items. And the final one is like warrior poet. And if you win the bid on that, then you gain one victory point for everyone who died, yours or theirs.
Mm.
So there's a lot of different ways you can kind of play the war game.
Sure.
And they don't necessarily involve you winning the war. It's because the game is all about honor and victory points at the end. And so it's just really neat, right? I kind of expected it to be heavier than it ended up being.
Okay.
Which isn't to say that it was a particularly light game, but it was nowhere near as like thinky as like a Zulkin or or something like that. It just wasn't. It was really fun. And you know, you can buy these Oni, which are these like giant god creatures. Mm-hmm. And of course, because it hit a bajillion stretch goals, every single one of these has a miniature, except they're not miniature. They're just
minor. Full size?
Yeah, they're just
they huge kind of things. Outstrip everything else by scale.
They're gigantic, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was really fun. It was a cool game. I would not mind playing it again. I mean, it was a time commitment. Especially since we were learning the rules.
Yeah.
That time around, but it was a lot. I'm also playing a lot more Keyflower on Board Game Arena. I really like that game. And guess what happens tomorrow?
We have games coming in the mail?
Andrew gets Role Player.
Oh,
finally! Yes. I am so excited. I'm getting it right before Granite Game Summit. I am so excited.
Gonna bring it with us?
Yes!
Flag down anyone who wants to play
it
with you.
I will play this game with... And if you are going to Granite Game Summit, I will play Role Player with you. I will have it with me. It will be my boo. I'm so excited! Anitra was shopping for jeans, and I was waiting for her to come out of the fitting room, and I found a copy on Amazon for actual normal price. And I said, can I please buy this game? Please, please, please. And Anitra's awesome, so I bought it.
More like I said, it's your money, and I'm spending more than you are today anyway.
Anitra's awesome, so I bought it. Why are we arguing?
Just semantics.
So I think that's most of what I've been playing. I think that's pretty much it. Okay. Does that sound about right?
Sounds about right.
I feel like I've played more, but I don't know what.
You've been playing a lot of stacking.
Yeah, the double the video fine game. I wanted to play something that would be acceptable for the kids, and it's a game that I realized that I had never really beaten. Yeah. And it was backwards compatible with the Xbox One. So I probably put 4 hours in, 5 hours in so far, and it says I'm like 56% done. So
I think it's been more than 5 hours, but I mean less than 10. So
yeah, I don't know what it's been, but it's a cute little game. You know, if you have the chance to get it for like $1.99,
it's very entertaining.
Right,
honestly, it's a weird game, concept.
It is a puzzle game based on Russian stacking dolls.
Yeah,
so it's pretty neat.
And it's always nice to have a game that the kids are like, Daddy, Daddy, can you play this game? Yeah,
they chase after me and beg me to play this game. And I'm like, I don't even have the energy to sit in front of the okay.
Twist my arm.
Yeah, right. But at the end of the month, MLB The Show 2018 comes out.
Yeah, but they're not going to be nearly as interested in watching you play fake baseball.
But I'm going to be buying the fake baseball game.
I know.
To play with my real friends. My real friends and I would play fake baseball, because if my real friends and I played real baseball, we would all be broken and our wives would be like, what's wrong with you people?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
also,
good.
Also, it's too cold this time of year.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Big snowstorm coming this week. You don't want to play baseball in that.
Not a fan.
All right. I have something that kind of qualifies as back talk.
Okay.
We've had several things come up on our Family Gamers Facebook community.
That is an awesome place to go if you want to kind of share pictures of your family playing games or stuff like that. You can go to thefamilygamers.com/community and it will bring you right there.
Yeah. So just a couple of quick highlights. Kirsten Robbins and her family were without power for at least a day or two, and so they used it playing games, because why not?
Which is the correct thing to do.
So she's got pictures up here of Potion Explosion and Colt Express and some nice, really tactile games, fun to play with kids.
It really is surprising. I mean, you think in your head, like, I thought this with Rising Sun, and I kind of felt the same way with The Grim Forest. At least with Rising Sun, like, they travel around the board and do a bunch of stuff. Yeah. The minis are fun, and they're kind of neat to have, but they seem so superfluous.
But it does make the game more fun.
It totally does, especially with a game like Colt Express. Well, I guess with Colt Express, you have to be on top of each other sometimes. So you really do kind of need the two-level thing.
I mean, you could do it with just like a board and a representation of ground floor.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess.
Inside the car, outside the car. But it's so much more fun with the little train cars.
Man, I really want to play that with the Horses and Stagecoaches expansion.
Yes. Which we have, but we haven't played.
Correct.
Yeah. Max Davey, who is also known as... Games for Kids?
Games for Families.
Games for Families. Mm-hmm.
They're over in England.
Yeah. He posted a picture of his family playing Celestia.
Yeah.
Which our kids know how to play.
Right. Your mom has that game.
My mom
It's like
owns
one of the
game.
Four games your mom has.
One of the four games published in the last 20 years that my mom has. My mom has lots of games. Just all of them are old. Except Celestia, apparently. So I, at some point, I would like to have a chance to play this game. It's very pretty. Mm-hmm. It's not very deep from what, okay. From what I hear.
Sure.
What else? Josh Patton told us that Animo did well.
Yeah, it hit 3 or 4 of the stretch goals.
Yeah.
Which is good. Awesome. Way to go, guys. Congratulations for funding.
Hooray.
That is very exciting.
We're looking forward to getting our Animo cards.
I'm looking forward to my kids playing less Pokemon and less more Pokemon. Animo.
Yes. Especially at church. And I think that's it. Unless I give Claire a shameless plug. She built a dice tower out of Legos.
Which is awesome.
It was pretty cool. And it's still sitting on our counter now. We don't really want to take it apart again.
Right.
But it was neat. A little exercise in building outside the box, I guess. One last shout out on our back talk this week. Adam Noel tweeted at us that he loved our fillers podcast and got some great ideas to add to his Amazon list. You're welcome. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean,
yeah,
welcome?
It's kind of a weird, it's like a you're welcome and we're sorry thing, right? I don't know.
I'm sorry to encourage you to spend more money, but you're welcome for some good suggestions.
Yeah. I mean, we had a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was a great time.
It was a really good time. So.
And it, you know, it means we're buying more filler games now, too.
It's totally true. Speaking of which, there's a really big sale going on at Cool Stuff Inc. right now. And Fun Again Games is closing their online store. So yeah. They are having a really big sale as well. So
it's really sad, but if you're looking for good deals on board games, this is a good time.
Yeah. The Fun Again stuff, they've sold out of a lot of stuff. But if, you know, if there's something there that you want, it's a pretty good price.
Yeah.
So definitely check that out.
All right. I think we're ready for a break.
I think so. When we come back, we will have our kids.
Hooray!
This episode of The Family Gamers is sponsored by the Wild East Game Company. You can go to wildeastgames.com/order to find all of the games that the Wild East Game Company has created. Whether you're looking for privateering rodents, some upset totems, or some electrified dice, the Wild East Game Company has the game for you. Check them out online at wildeastgames.com.
And we're back! We have our special guests here for the show, Claire and Asher. Say hello, Claire and Asher.
Hi!
So we've had you guys on the show before, but it's been a long time.
Yes.
But since we've been doing this, you guys have been playing lots more games. And so we thought that we would take some time. We had a winter break early a little bit ago. And then, Asher, you got to go to Total Con with Mommy.
Aw, I'm getting a hug.
Yeah. So we thought that it would be a good opportunity to have the kids come on and talk about some of the games that they've been playing.
Sounds good to me.
So, Claire, winter break came first. So why don't you talk about some of the games that you played on winter break?
I don't remember.
Well, just tell us about some of the games that you remember playing recently, especially if you remember playing them with your two brothers.
Well, some games that we played really recently were some of the top Trumps games.
All right.
You like those games a lot. So we haven't, we're going to have a review for those games coming out.
Real soon.
Real soon, next couple of weeks, but we haven't really talked about them that much on the show before. A little bit. So why don't you tell our listeners what those games are like?
Is there any game that they are like?
Yeah, they're a lot like War, regular old War.
Yeah, except you know what your card is.
And you can play against more than one other person.
Mm-hmm. And you can also pick a category to fight in.
Right, that's exactly how the card... So every card has 5 to 7 categories on it, I guess?
Yeah, depending on what pack you're dealing from.
And you can pick one and you say, we're fighting on magic power or something.
If we were doing the United States set, we could say, population. Or
182.
Or area, like square miles. Like
landmass.
Yeah, like Alaska would win on being the largest state, but it would not win on having the most people.
Nope.
It would be like three.
So how many different Top Trumps things have you done?
Well, I did Mischievous Cats one. I did a few Harry Potter ones, like about three of them, even though I didn't play them with actual family, most of them. Just Daddy. I played two Shopkins ones before, and...
Did you play the Greek mythology one?
No.
No.
We did play Star Wars.
Yeah.
Episode
six.
Episode six.
That was six.
Four through six.
Four through six.
Yeah, that was... So I played six of them.
Okay, and there's lots of them.
This is my estimate.
One of the neat things about Top Trumps is that you pretty much can find a genre to suit you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. Like, we looked at them to see which ones to buy when we went on this game night thing. And, like, there was a whole catalog of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What about you, Asher? Do you like the Top Trumps games?
Sort of.
Sort of? What's your favorite one that you've done?
I've only done the Shopkins one.
Oh, okay.
One Shopkins one.
Oh, okay.
No, you've done both of them.
I haven't.
The Shopkins ones are pretty similar to each other, so.
I haven't.
Yeah, there's a lighter pink one and a darker pink one.
Wow, what variety.
Right. I forgot about that.
All right. Do you want to talk about another game that you've played recently?
Well, I think there's one that we played over break was Mastermind, right, Asher?
Yeah.
So we have talked on the show, you wouldn't know this, but we have talked on the show about how excited we are, Mommy and Daddy, that you guys, Asher and Claire, pick up games and play them without us because you like them, and that's great. And we remembered a few times that we would come out of the bedroom and you were playing Mastermind.
Yeah, like sometimes we tried to have like game days, but they never work. At least I try to. And like the first game that we always start with is Mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Like we wake up, I wake up, I wake up Asher, or it happens the other way around. And then we play Mastermind.
Well, that's a good game for two players.
Mm-hmm. And it gets your brain moving. Chug, 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 chug.
Mastermind.
Do you like Mastermind, Ash?
Yes.
Yes? Yeet. Okay. All right. One last game?
Brave Rats.
Brave Rats.
I love Brave Rats.
What do you like about Brave Rats, Ash?
Well... The fact that you get to pick the card that you play.
Yeah, so you have a whole handful of cards and you're picking which one you want to put face down.
From 0 to 7.
Mm-hmm.
That's another two-player game.
Yep. I really like the art in Brave Rats.
You can only have two players.
Right.
Yeah. I think...
Brave Rats and Mastermind.
Mm-hmm.
Well, another game is one that Mommy thinks we have misjudged is Deep Sea Adventure.
Yes.
Yes.
We played Deep Sea Adventure with the kids, and they did not like it.
No.
They're wrong.
We're right.
So here's the thing, guys. We're probably going to play it again at some point, but now we know it's a really hard game. Also, I am more solid on the rules now, so I know the couple of mistakes we were making the first time we played it.
Yeah, like not going extra deep the first time.
Yeah, well,
that would
that's
also
not
be,
a rule problem. That's just
strategy.
A strategy problem. All right, Asher, it's your turn. Why don't you talk about a game that you played at TotalCon that we don't have?
Ice Cool.
Ice Cool.
We played Ice Cool.
Yep, a lot of people know that game. What do you think of Ice Cool?
Really fun.
What are your favorite parts about it?
The flicking the penguins.
Yeah, flicking the penguins was fun. I like making them jump over the walls. How about you?
But then you don't get the fish.
Well, yes, I know. But it's still
I have
fun.
No idea what you guys are talking about.
How about another game?
Can't Stop.
We played Can't Stop.
That sounds super familiar, but I have no idea what it is either.
You've seen that one.
It's
a giant stop sign thing
with little pegs on it.
Yeah.
You've seen it at various church events because there are some people from church who also like playing Can't Stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an older game, so there are lots of different versions out there. but most of them look like a giant stop sign.
Really? Well, is that why it's called Can't Stop?
Yes, that is the
it's called thing I'm looking for. It's called Can't Stop because it's a press your luck game, and once you get rolling and doing better and better, you don't want to stop rolling the dice.
Right.
You can't stop.
I can't stop because lightning striking again.
No?
No.
I think one that mommy liked, well, not everybody played this. One time we started to play it, and me and mommy played it, but Rolling America is good.
Rolling America is good. Mm-hmm. And we'll play it some more as a family.
Yes. Yeah. I think we'll wait to talk about Rolling America until we play it a little bit more. It's a fun Game Right game. It's another Roll and Write from Game Right.
Yep.
What about you, Asher?
What's something else
Ice from Cool and Can't Stop, and you spent like 13 hours there, so.
No, we spent like 8, but.
No.
You know.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
So this is a prototype game from our friend Jeff Johnston. What other games did he make? Do you remember?
Moonquake Escape.
Yep.
Moonquake Escape.
And I forgot what the other one was called.
Moonpie.
He's also the creator of Toasted or Roasted, and Flashlights.
We have that game.
And Flashlights and Fireflies.
We tried that game.
We do not have that game. Yeah.
So we tried Leave Me Alone, and we also tried an even newer prototype of his called Barely Asleep.
Right, I love that one.
That one, it was a lot of fun.
That is my favorite
game. Talk about Barely Asleep.
So there's this big bed of four bears.
Okay.
And you have a friend, and she's jumping on the bed, and every time she gets...
That's a bad idea.
We know. On the edge of the bed. Mm-hmm. And every time she hits a side, a bear rolls off.
Okay.
And what happens when a bear rolls off?
You put them in the line of bears.
So there's another line of bears off the bed. And you're trying to do what to them?
Put them asleep.
You're trying to put them all to sleep. Why why are we trying to put them all to sleep?
So we can play games all winter.
Instead of hibernating. We want the big bears to hibernate so we can play games.
Yeah.
Because you're baby bears?
Because we're baby bears.
Ah, see, that part was missing.
Yeah, that part was missing.
So
I
how do
have
we,
no idea.
How do we put the big bears to sleep?
By playing cards that... have something on them.
So, by playing cards on them, and each bear has a different requirement to put them to sleep. So, there are 5 different kinds of cards to play, each one representing a different kind of game that the bears like to play. I forget what the names of them were, but they range from number 1 to number 5, where the number is the noise level.
I remember some of the names of the games.
Okay.
There's Bear Brawl. Yep. There's Bear Ball.
Mm-hmm.
There's Bear It All.
Bear It All, yep.
There's a lot of bear games. Well, I mean, there's
two
more.
The game.
They are bears. Mm-hmm.
I forgot the last two.
There was some, like, bear drums or something like that.
Bear Band.
Bear Band, yes. That was the noise level 5
sure.
game.
No.
No?
No, Bear Brawl is 5.
Bear Brawl is 5. Bear Band was 4. Okay.
3.
You remember the most random facts.
Bear It All is 1.
Right, because that's the whispering game.
Bear Brawl is 5.
Okay.
Bear Ball is 3. No. Bear Ball is 4. And Bear Band...
was 3? You know what? It doesn't matter. But they were cute. Each adult bear had a different requirement to put them to sleep. So one, the requirement was a noise level greater than 18.
Yeah, that was mom bear.
Yep.
That was mom.
Another one was at least 4 cards, but a noise level less than 10.
Yikes. That sounds like a hard one.
There's also a bear who wanted 4... at least 4 different games, so that's different numbers.
And there is this card that has all 4.
Right.
And you can use that one card to put them to sleep.
So it's basically It's basically a, you basically have five different numbers in four different suits, four different colors. So there was also a bear that needed, you know, all four different colors to be able to be put to sleep.
You already said that.
I don't think I did, but that's okay.
No, she didn't.
The other key item was that once a bear is asleep, they have a favorite kind of game that if you play that game next to them, they will wake back up because they want to play it so much. So you have this big line of bears and some of them are asleep and some of them are not. And you start trying to figure out how you're going to manage to put the awake ones to sleep without waking up the ones that are already asleep.
And
before the cards
and the number is on the back of the card.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It definitely still needs a little bit more polishing, but I would love to play it again. How about you, Asher? Would you like to play it again?
Yeah.
Are there any other games you would like to mention from Total Gone? How about the one that you played without me? Something about cars.
Oh, right. Car Wars.
Car Wars. That's a Steve Jackson game.
That makes me think of Star Wars.
So what'd you do in Car Wars?
I have a car.
Everybody has a car. And you're playing cards on other people to, like, knock out a side or the front or the back or a tire. And that's how you escape in and kill the driver.
You kill the driver? Wow.
And the driver violent has five game. Health.
That's a violent game. Did you like playing that one?
Yep.
How'd you do in that game?
Well, one of my first cards was Fireproof Armor.
Fireproof Armor.
So, and there's this card called a Flamethrower,
mm-hmm.
where if you have the Fireproof Armor, it doesn't do anything, or you can't play the card on that mm-hmm. person. And it was really helpful, because I didn't get that many flamethrowers at myself.
So, how did you do in that game? Did you win?
No.
What did place? You lose?
Yes.
Were you in second place?
No.
Third place?
I was either the first person to die or the second person to die.
Okay. How did
you
that
were victimizing
make
you children.
Bleh.
How did that make you feel?
Usually you get pretty upset when you lose games.
But maybe not in front of people that are not family.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I wanted to pivot this a little bit and also spend a couple minutes talking about losing. How do you normally feel when you lose a game? How do you feel, Claire, when you lose a game?
Well, if it's a game that I didn't really like, I'm happy that it's over.
Okay. What if it's a game you tried really hard and you still lost? How do you feel?
Me?
Yeah.
That's hard. I don't know.
I think you get pretty grumpy when you lose.
I think sometimes you get pretty grumpy in the middle of the game when you feel like you're losing.
Yeah, like when we played Robo Diner and you won.
My favorite game. No, it's not actually my favorite game. But it is one of my favorite games.
But it happens to everybody sometimes that you feel like you're losing and you feel like you're falling behind. You're not getting the cards you want or whatever. And it gets kind of frustrating. So what are some things that you know you can do to help you deal with that? I'm going to start with Claire. What would you say to somebody who's getting grouchy in the middle of a game?
Don't get upset. You never know what might happen.
Okay. How about you, Asher? What would you say if it was not you, but one of your friends you were playing with who was starting to get real upset because they felt like they were losing? What would you say? Would you try to help them make some better choices?
Yes.
Okay. Would they be better choices in the game or help them make better choices with their attitude?
Help them make better choices with their attitude and the game.
And in the game. Okay. That's fair.
That sounds good.
Do you guys remember some of the things we do in our family to help you deal with the sting of losing?
We yell at each other. What we do, it's just something we do. Especially Robin.
How about when the game is all done? Is there anything we do differently for the winner versus the loser or losers?
The winner has to clean up the game.
Winner has to clean up?
Yep.
Does that help you feel better sometimes when you're the loser?
No.
No? If you're the winner, does it help keep you from going, nah, nah, I'm better than you are? Because you have to clean up?
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Is there anything else you two would like to say to our audience about games or winning and losing before we wrap it up for the night?
Well, nope. I'm done.
Oh, it's not about tabletop games. It's about video games.
Okay.
There's this one specific video game, and it's called Super Mario 3D World. And when you play with multiple players, sometimes everybody doesn't get on the flag, and you get in a bubble, and you don't get in the final seat. But that is okay. You don't need to get in the final scene to still enjoy the game. And at the end, whoever gets the crown, whatever, it doesn't do anything. Doesn't make you special. I mean, you get the most points or whatever. But it doesn't do anything to impact your real life.
That's true. Words of wisdom from Claire.
Words of wisdom.
I didn't even like you.
Well, this is pretty much what it's like with our kids.
I think that's it for our show tonight.
Okay. So, as always, please head over to our website, thefamilygamers.com, or you can always check us out on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram.
@FamilyGamersAA.
You can always email us, Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
We want to say a huge thank you to everybody who filled out our survey. We picked our winners, and we started sending out some emails. So if you have, if you don't have an email from us, sorry.
Sorry.
If you haven't checked your email, you may have an email from us. And if so, congratulations. Those things will be going out probably this week, I think. We are proud members of the Dice Tower Network. And we're really looking forward to helping out with the with some of the stuff that's going to be happening with Dice Tower Con later this year.
Hope so.
It's going to be cool. And I think that's pretty much it.
All right. Awesome. As always, don't forget to leave us a rating or a review on whatever podcast service you use.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. Helps other people discover the Family Gamers podcast. And if you like us, wouldn't you want more people to listen? Of course you would.
We would.
That's going to be it for this week. Until next week,
play games with your kids.